Welcome back to the C Camp CDA podcast. The Camp CDA podcast is specially designed for students pursuing their CDA credential. I am your host, Tracy V. McGee, and again, we welcome you from beautiful Lithia Springs, Georgia. It's an honor to have you join us as we share tips and techniques so that you can successfully complete your Child Development Associate credential. We are especially excited and delighted to have a special guest joining us today, Miss Sharon Hutchins-Bett, who I have known more than probably some of you have been on this longer than some of you have been on this earth, is our special guest. Miss Beck and I went to school together way before we ever went to college. And so we have long history. And we met up again once we both moved to Georgia in the Atlanta area. And we've been having the privilege of working together for several years. And it is an honor to have Mrs. Beck here with us today. She's going to formally introduce herself to you in just a couple of moments. But I wanted Mrs. Beck to know, and I want you to know, how delighted we are to have her with us today. Listen, if the Camp CDA podcast is helping you in any way, we invite you to share our link with other CDA students so that they may also benefit from the information that we share. You may subscribe to our podcast wherever you obtain your podcasts. Also remember that we have the Kitty podcast, which airs on Mondays at 12:15. We spend each week on Mondays talking about hope, and we never run out of information. So Mondays, join us for the Kitty podcast. Wednesdays, join us for Camp CDA. The Camp CDA podcast is sponsored by the TJAC Educational Consulting Group, where we are taking Jesus across communities through the provision of educational services. We are a Christian-based company, but you are not required to be a Christian to participate in any of our services. We are educationally empowering everyone. So this week, we're not going to follow our regular schedule. You know, we generally will answer one of a student or a potential student's question, followed by talking about one of our training classes and giving you in-depth information on how to complete assignments. And then we end up talking about your portfolio and helping you to put together a section of your portfolio. But we're not going to do that today because Mrs. Beck has such great information to share with us. She's going to give you tips, techniques from the perspective of a professional development specialist. This is going to help you to soar through your CDA process. So let's jump in, and we know you will learn a lot from Mrs. Beck, excuse me. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, Mrs. Beck. First question, please share a little about yourself and your educational background.
Okay, well, hi, formerly Tracy. Thank you so much for inviting me to the podcast. So a little bit about myself. I am originally from Philadelphia. I came to Atlanta, Georgia to attend Spelman College. And so that is where the foundation and the groundwork was laid for me to be doing what I do now. So I'm a graduate from Spelman College with a bachelor's degree in child development. And I have been in the field since before graduation. I started working as what we commonly now call a floater. Back then we were called teacher's aides. So I was a part-time floater. And once I got my degree, was offered a position at the same child care program where I worked as a floater. and worked there for about 11 years in the classroom teaching four-year-olds. So this was before Georgia Pre-K even became public. So I'm dating myself a little bit, Tracy. But I've had experiences in the classroom as well as from the administrator side of you as a director, a curriculum specialist, education disability specialist with Head Start. And then I moved on to a consultant role. And so I worked with coaching and mentoring and training early childhood providers from infant and toddler all the way through the leadership. So I've been doing this work now for over 34 years, and I just love it. I think that I was designed to do what I do. It brings me joy. After I do a training session, it normally takes a few hours for me to come back down off my high. But the experiences that I have had run the gamut of childcare. I've worked in the private childcare. I've worked in public Georgia Pre-K. I've worked with in Head Start. So I've worked in with infants all the way to school age. So I've just had I think the holistic view. And I'm a parent. I'm a parent of three young men. And so I think I've had the perspective of every piece that touches the early care and education industry.
Wow, thank you. 34 plus years. Every time I say that, I'm like, I've really been doing this for a long time. But
Yes, yes, we have.
it's good to know that I'm not by myself. And I don't think you hear either of us mentioning retirement because we really love what we do. But retirement
Absolutely.
will be coming sooner rather than later. Listen, Nick,
Absolutely.
if you guys have listened to any of our previous shows, I've mentioned again and again that Well Able Training Service is not the only trainer out there. And we look at training the same way we look at a person having their favorite meal. Everybody will like what they like. And so, Mrs. Beck is a trainer and a professional development specialist. If you are not in a class right now, and after today's show, you say, you know what? I really want to find out more about her. I may want to be in one of her classes. Then we will make sure to link you up with Mrs. Beck. This is not the Well Able Training Service show. Well, it is the show, but we are not the only trainers in town. And so listen closely and let's find out if Mrs. Beck is your cup of tea. Next question. In your own words, please define the role of a professional development specialist as they represent the Council for Professional Recognition, better known as the CDA Council.
All right, so the role of a professional development specialist as a representative of the council is to ensure that the CDA student who is applying to become credentialed has met all of the requirements necessary in order for that to happen, with the exception of the assessment, because that is a separate piece that comes with this. So we are there pretty much at the end of the journey, ensuring that all of the pieces are there, that they have fulfilled their training requirements, that they have their professional portfolio, and that they are putting into practice. And Tracy, I think this is the key piece, the classroom observation, because your portfolio, you create your portfolio, but it is that classroom observation that is the telling tool that you are putting into practice what you learned in your CVA classes. And that is important because that is what makes a great credentialed child care development, a child development associate, is that you are not only have the knowledge, but you are putting into practice the things that you learn. So my role is to ensure that all of those things are lining up and all that information gets to the council so that they can make an appropriate decision about who gets credentialed.
Excellent. And so this would, you know, you're just about done when you schedule that visit with your PD specialist. And so all of those hours of training, the hours of working with your children, the hours of putting together your portfolio, all that is about to go into the hands of one person called your PD specialist. That's why we're so insistent that you do this right. Because what they see is what they record. And I don't want to jump ahead of Ms. Beck, but we want you to be a successful child development associate. So thank you for that response. Next question. How has your educational background assisted you in your role as a CDA professional development specialist?
Well, as I said, I started out in the classroom myself. And so I've had the experience of running a classroom and lesson plans and classroom management and positive interactions with children and working with families. And so I think I can have that, I don't want to call it empathy, but I know what it feels like to be in the classroom. I also have the professional educational piece behind it. So I understand child development because remember, my degree is not in early or elementary education. It is in child development. So lots of courses on behavior patterns and milestones and growth and development and psychology courses. So I think that all of that plays a role in helping me to have a good bird's eye view of what should be happening in the classroom, as well as, of course, we have tools that help to guide us. But I think that the experiences and the education that I have up under my belt helps me to be able to see those things and sometimes see them faster than the untrained eye.
Okay. So let me throw a question in there. Because sometimes a person can become a CDA, a professional development specialist, without the degree. Do you feel like you would have the same perspective when you observe a student, a participant, if you had maybe a 2-year degree? Or the CDA only.
So, Tracy, I think it depends on experience, and it also depends on additional training, and it also depends on your beliefs and values, because we know in our field there are a variety of beliefs about young children and how they grow and develop that might differ from best practices in the field. And so I would say, as long as the person, whether they have a CDA, an AA, or a BA, right? I think that associate's degree or bachelor's, I think that it's all about understanding best practices and knowing what they look like in action. So I could very well have the background, I could have a PhD in education. But if I don't understand what the best practices, what the quality practices are from the field, then I probably cannot really relate to what the tool is really looking for. And so I may default to what I know, and what I know may not be exactly what the council is looking for. So I think it has more to do with your experience and your knowledge about and with implementing best practices.
Excellent. Thank you for allowing me to throw that extra question in. I
Mm-hmm.
asked that question because I want our students to know that once you have your CDA, or once you have your associates, or once you have your BA, MA, MED, PhD, you can become a PD specialist. And so, if you really want to help people in your community, put in your application once you get that CDA, once you get your associate's degree, because you will not be rejected just because you don't have an associate's degree. But here's the key, and here's something that you need to think about. There are PD specialists that are needed in specific communities because they don't have any. And most PD specialists don't want to drive 2 hours there and 2 hours back. They may not mind driving 45 minutes there, 45 minutes back. But if you live in a community where when you did your search for a PD specialist, you were like, I can't find anybody, then maybe it should be you. So just wanted to toss that out there for you to think about, because everybody can help somebody else by doing just a little bit more. So thank you for that, Mrs. Beck. And I'm going to the next question. And here, this is a big one. So pick up your pens and take good notes. Would you explain a typical PD specialist verification visit for us?
Absolutely, absolutely. First, I do want to say to all of the listeners, and in particular, those who are preparing, they're coming down the home stretch. And they're preparing for their verification visit. This is your time to shine. Okay. I know we're always nervous, but I need you to think about it. Lights, camera, action, all that you've learned. Now it's time for that PD specialist to come in and see you shine. So the visit can take anywhere from maybe 3 to 4 hours, 3.5. It just depends on what the PD specialist can see. So when the specialist arrives, they'll usually, get signed in and everything. And the first thing we typically do is take a look at the professional portfolio. And so we take some time to review the portfolio, make sure everything is there. Sometimes I have sticky notes and I'll just, make some notes to the candidate based on what I see. And when that's done, then we go into the classroom and actually do the observation piece. And so, as I said, there is a tool which is in the back of the competency standards book. It's either green, yellow, blue, or purple based on what you are getting your credential in. And we go through that tool and we take notes. And we observe, we score. Sometimes some things are easier to score than others. And so it depends on, what we see. We only have 2 hours to see everything that we're supposed to see, 2, 2.5 hours. And so the more you shine, the more we can capture in our notes to be able to give you a fair score. Once the classroom observation is done, then we have time for what we call the reflective dialogue. And there are some additional forms in that competency standard booklet that you need to have completed prior to your visit, because this will help to guide your conversation with the PD specialist. This is not a part of your scoring, but it is an opportunity for you to take time to reflect on your practices, reflect on your strengths. Take a look at where are the areas that you would like to grow and set some goals for yourself. And I think that I believe that's one of the pieces that I appreciate that they added in, Tracy, with this 2.0 version of the verification visit, because I think it's important for us to be reflective practitioners, which means we should always be reflecting on our practices, on classroom strategies, things that are working, things that may not. You may have a lesson plan, it's your favorite one, and it has worked well for the past 2 years. And this particular classroom, it is a flop. Has nothing to do with the lesson plan. It probably has more to do with this particular group of children that you have. And maybe you just need to tweak it a little bit. And so the reflective piece, they've added it into the portfolio competencies and they've added it to the visit. I think it's great because we need to be reflective practitioners in the work that we do and always taking a look at what are we doing, how is it working, and how can I improve upon it. So once that reflective dialogue is done, the visit is over. And so the PD specialist will then take all the information that she or he has gathered and will go and actually score the candidate on the tool. And once the candidate has done both the assessment and the verification visit, they will get an email letting them know success. I like to think that everybody is going to get success because there's no reason you cannot get that congratulatory email because you have all the tools, you have everything you need at your fingertips.
Absolutely. I'm going to throw another question in there because I think that this is very important. And you've heard me discuss this before, but I want you to hear it again. And before, when you first meet your PD specialist, it is usually at a time when you're introducing yourselves to each other so you can get your scheduling date in place. So you may or you may not have your PD specialist phone number and or email address. It is very important for you to know that Ms. Beck just told you that once that reflective interview is over, the visit is over. Mrs. Beck goes on about her life. She's going to enter in your grade, your scores, and she'll give the counsel a snapshot of what she has seen and observed. Please do not call your PD specialists after the meeting. They don't know if you are going to be a CDA or not. They don't know because they're no longer a part of the process. They have done their job. And so please do not call Mrs. Beck saying, Mrs. Beck, it's been 2 weeks and I haven't heard anything. And I just, no. Go back to the CDA council and say, it's been 2 weeks and I haven't heard anything and I need your help. They will go into the computer and they can tell you exactly why you haven't heard anything. But it is against the rules for you to stalk, for a better word, your PD specialist when this is over. So please don't do that. Any feedback on that, Mrs. Beck?
I was going to say, thank you for adding that, Tracy. I have not had that happen in a very long time. The council seems to have a much faster turnaround than they used to. And if not, it may be because the candidate has not taken the assessment yet. So it depends on when they've scheduled that assessment. But yeah, we have no, the PD specialist, we have no control over anything. We cannot go into your account and look at what's in there. We don't have any information as far as timelines. As Tracy said, our job is to contact you, schedule the visit, complete the visit, enter our information into the database for the CDA Council, And once we hit that submit button, as Tracy says, Ms. McGee said, our job with you has been completed. So we do not have additional, we cannot share with you what the scoring was. We none of that. So when we say thank you so much and good luck, oftentimes I will ask the students to shoot me an email, let me know what the outcome is, because I kind of like to know when students, every time there's a new person who has received their CDA, it just makes me feel good that we have one more credentialed person in the field out there doing good things for children. But yeah, we do not have any access to information to share with you once our visit is over. Thank you for pointing that out. I forgot about that.
Thank you. Thank you. So, as we begin our wrap up, I have one final question. We talked about the professional portfolio. What are you looking for when you review the professional portfolio?
All right. We were talking about this a little earlier before the show. In the competency standard book, and I know you are hearing me refer to this book a lot, and that's because it is the CDA candidate's Bible little B. Everything you need to know about this process is in that book. And specifically on pages 14 through 19, that's what I'm looking for in that professional portfolio. I'm looking for all of the pieces of the resource collection. I'm looking for the competency standards, the six standards. And I want to say something here, Tracy, about those standards, because I'm finding this from time to time. There are two parts to these competency standards. There is the summary of the things that you do, the practices that you put into place in your classroom around the competency standard in general. So, for example, if it's program management, there's a whole paragraph just around all the things that you do to show your competence in that particular functional area, in that particular competence, right? In program management. That. And there are reflection questions. And those questions usually have the letter C with a number and a letter behind it, right? Those must be answered as well. So it's both pieces. What I find sometimes is there might be the answer to the competency statement as far as the practices, but the reflective questions may not be there. Or there may be the reflective questions, but the general practices paragraph for the competency statement is not there. So it is important for CDA candidates to know you need to do both in order for your portfolio to be marked complete. And that's important because it's not, I can't give you partial credit. So everything else on the tool, the scoring tool, it's either a one, a two, or three. When it comes to your portfolio, it's either a one or a three. There's no middle ground. You either don't, it's either complete or it's not. So it is really important that you all go through the book. There's another list when you get to the back of the book that lists out every single item that needs to be in that portfolio. And I think that you should really take your time, because here's why that those competency statements are important. That portfolio is a snapshot of who you are as a professional without me ever seeing you in your classroom. So when I read through that portfolio, I should have a really good idea of the practices that you have as a professional, both in the classroom and with your families, your professionalism, because I can't observe those things most of the time, right? And so your competency statements are giving me that information for me to be able to score you in those areas. And so it is really important that you take your time and think about your competency statements as your extended resume. So as I read those, it helps me to understand who you are as a professional. So you need to have your resource collection items for each area, as for each competency, as well as your competency statement, as well as your reflective questions. Those are all of the pieces that we are looking for in that professional portfolio. And if anything is missing, that's an incomplete. You don't want an incomplete because that can affect your scoring. You want to get as many threes as you can, because the more threes you have, the higher your likelihood of getting a great score. So that is key. That professional portfolio, think of it as when the PD specialist takes that book, they're getting to know you as a professional. And then I'm coming into the classroom. So if I don't see something in the classroom, but you've already put it in your competency statements, then I trust that it's something that you do. I just didn't happen to see it on today.
Okay, I thought of a question that I wanted to ask. Can participants include information that is not found in the competency standards book? Say, I wanted to add
So
a picture of my family, or I wanted to show you pictures of my classroom so I can show you how great I am.
So here's the thing, Miss McGee. There's nothing that says you can't, but it's not necessary. Remember, we are on a time clock and we only have a certain amount of time to get everything done. And so as I'm going, I've done this so long, I almost don't need the checklist. I know what I'm looking for, I know what's supposed to be there. And so I really just want to take my time to go through your book and read through the things that you have. So all of the unnecessary pictures, while it's cute and I know you want to show it off, right? Sometimes it's a distraction from what I'm trying to do with your book. But if it's there, you must put a nice picture of your classroom in your cover, so that I can see it in the cover. But it's really not necessary, because guess what? I'm coming into your classroom. And so I'll get to see all the wonderful and amazing things that you have, your materials, the artwork, the bulletin boards that you've done. I get to see all of that when I come into your classroom. So those pieces are not necessary. The autobiography is no longer a part of the professional portfolio. You now have your philosophy statement at the end. So we no longer are looking at who you are as an individual, but we're more concerned with your philosophy of how you believe young children learn and grow. And so they should be in alignment with your competency statements, but we do not need all the extra bells and whistles. It's nice and it's cute. And I know we're teachers, we like to do that, but it really is not necessary.
I wanted to save you some time by having Mrs. Beck respond to that question, because I don't want you to go and do a 45-minute art project when you could be using that time to make sure that every piece of your portfolio is in place.
Yes.
Mrs. Beck
Yes.
mentioned the competency standards book several times. And I think you have your book pulled out, Mrs. Beck.
I do. I do.
Can you tell me what page the CSI starts on? While she's looking for that, listen, everything that Mrs. Beck is going to look for, or the professional development specialist is going to look for, is in the book. You have it. You have to hand it to your PD specialist when they walk into your classroom. Please. Please, please spend that time, that 45 minutes, going through each one of those checklists to make sure that your classroom lines up with the requirements of the CDA Council. Because what you want is for your professional development specialist to walk in the room and say, check, 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 and kind of look at you and say, it's all here. I never moved any twos at all. Everything was a three. They gave you the answers to the test before you ever sat down to take the test. So, what page does it start on, Mrs. Beck?
So the back of the book gets a little wonky. Technically, it's page 145. So it's in the very back of the book. All of your forms are back there. Everything that you need, your the parent, the family questionnaires, your summary, everything is back behind that paper application that you do not want to use because it costs more money and it'll take a little longer. So after page 140, 127, there are a lot of pages, but technically, if you're looking at the pages on the bottom, the page numbers on the bottom of the pages, it's about page 145. It's not going to say that, but when you look at the bottom of the pages and you count, it really starts at about page 145, and it's a pretty long instrument. But as Ms. McGee said, you have it's an open book test. You know what we're looking for. And here's another clue I'll give you all. Not only do you have the test, but you have all the answers. Because in each section of the competency standard book, I'm trying to get to the very beginning, from pages 41, I'm going to say from page 41 all the way to page 127, I believe, maybe before that. It goes through and gives you examples of what things from one to page 106. So from 41 to page 106, in each competency area, they're giving you examples of the behaviors or of the things that we are looking for in your classroom that we can mark a check and say, oh yeah, that's a three. So not only do you have the test questions, you have the test answers. So really, if you just take your standard book, go through each section. Am I doing this? Am I doing that? Do I do small groups of 4 to 6 children and read to them frequently, allowing for greater individual participation? Are you doing that? If not, you might want to start doing it as a practice. And so there's no reason any CDA candidate should not have a glowing review on their verification visit, because you have all the answers. You have everything that you need.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, I know you guys have learned so much. And the great thing about it being a podcast is if you did not catch the note because we were going too fast or we were laughing while we were talking, just press rewind and go back to that section and get those notes. The reason that we're doing this podcast is so that you have the information at your fingertips. We are sincerely thankful to Mrs. Beck for sharing with us today. Listen, if you live in the metropolitan Atlanta and you would like to have Mrs. Beck as your CDA trainer or your PD specialist, please send her a request when you complete your CDA application. You'll be able to find her name. And then there's a little section where you fill out some information, and then Mrs. Beck contacts you back and says, here's my PD specialist number. I'm not giving out her number here because if you're not going to use her, then I don't want to have everybody just sending her information for no good reason. So hopefully, Mrs. Beck will come back and join us one day, and we'll talk about her role as a CDA trainer. And you'll be able to get more information on the different aspects of the CDA training. Thank you all for joining us today, and we can't wait to have you back again next week. Remember that the CDA podcast team wants you to remain helpful. In the season of uncertainty, there's somebody who's worse off than you. So please help somebody. We want you to remain whole. Working with children is a difficult vocation. Every time you turn around, you're getting sick. So we need you to take care of yourself. Get your sleep, eat healthy, drink your water, watch your temperament. Take care of yourself. Be whole. So be helpful, be whole, and most of all, be hopeful. You are doing the what they call the best first step to becoming an educator that is credentialed. And so hope is leading the way for you. We want you to get out there and make the difference in the life and direction of a child. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is our prayer. Have a great day. Bye-bye.